Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
We are set to make our predictions. Now, yesterday, we made our World Series predictions. Mm-hmm. You may have heard that right here on the program. If you didn't, you'll hear about it on November 1st when we replay those predictions and see how we did. Today, it's about the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. So what I am asking all of us to do is win total and then how the season ends. So, like, for example, Sean Morash was on earlier, had a family thing to take care of today. He said the Yankees will win 85 games and miss the playoffs. That's his prediction. So, Tinky Barber, I'll start with you.
Yep.
And we'll start with the Yankees. Now, yesterday you did reveal that you have them going to the World Series.
Yep.
So we know that part of it. How about the win total for the New York Yankees?
92-70.
92-70. American League pennant.
Yes.
Okay. It's Tinky Barber on the Yankees. Tinky Barber on the Mets.
I'm going to go this hard.
I gave you days to think about.
86-76.
86-76. Yeah.
Playoffs? Yeah.
Okay.
Wild card.
Wild card.
Last wild card.
Last wild card. And then what? How does it end? Obviously, we don't get to the World Series.
Divisional round knockout.
Okay. Losing the divisional round. All right. 86 wins, third wild card, losing the divisional series. Tommy Lugauer, let's start with your New York Mets.
You want me to start with the Mets
first? Would you rather start with the Yankees?
I would like to start with the Yankees.
Okay, start with the Yankees.
The Yankees will win 90 games.
90?
They will lose in the World Series.
Again?
Again.
You see, you're too much.
What?
Because I know what you're doing.
What do you mean?
Just go ahead.
90 wins for the Yankees. They will lose in the World Series.
Like drunks.
Yeah. I mean, they play in the junior varsity, so they will stroll through the American League playoffs. As for the Mets will win 100 and I'm going to go 20. 120.
Stop it, bro. Come on.
There'll be 5 forfeits.
Loogie.
Sweep the Subway Series, which will be the Yankees World Series this year because they're a little brother. And then they will finish my story, winning the World Series. This time, though, in the Bronx.
Generational talent.
And I'll have my day.
That's it. 120 wins?
Did I say 120? Yeah. I meant 125. There were 5 forfeits in there. I don't know how that will count. It'll be unprecedented.
Who's forfeiting,
the Yankees will forfeit a couple of those Subway Series games.
Tommy!
You really want to go with this as your official prediction?
Yeah.
The Yankee part is fine, I guess. 120 wins?
Mm. Yeah.
Come on.
So what's that, 42 losses?
That is correct. Good math by you.
I mean, thank you. They have Juan Soto now.
So the Mets are going to break the all-time record for wins.
Oh, that's an all-time record?
Yeah.
I hate that guy. All right.
They're going to break the all-time record, and they're going to win the World Series. So unlike the Mariners, who broke the all-time record or the modern record, and then lost in the ALCS, you're going all the way. Breaking the all-time record and winning the World Series.
Yes. Thank you.
That's called a pull it straight out of your ass prediction.
Yeah, that really is.
Tommy.
Mets fans, let's ride.
Oh, God.
All right, mine is going to be a lot more boring. I apologize. I have the New York Yankees winning 93 games, so slightly above you. They will win the American League East, and I have them losing in the divisional series. So flaming out just a tad early and losing in the DS. They will lose that division series
to
Jacob
Houston.
DeGrom and the Texas Rangers.
Texas.
No, not Houston.
I was going to say, you're going to pull a tired trope.
No, I'm done with that because they're really not the same anymore.
Not
like last year when Sean argued that, I disagreed. They're really not. Like Bregman being gone, Verlander being gone, it's
Altuve playing left field.
Altuve's playing left field.
That is so bizarre.
It is.
Just seeing him out there is bizarre.
And he's not good at it, apparently.
Oh, he looks like he's a struggle.
Now, I'll make you this prediction. On opening day, he's going to make a diving catch.
Of course.
Like, I just feel it right now.
And hit 2 home runs.
Yeah, right. As far as the Mets are concerned, I think they're going to win 89 games. I think they will be the third wild card. And I actually have them getting back to the same spot they were last year. I think they're going to lose in the league championship series to the Atlanta Braves. So that's my official Met prediction. 89, last wild card spot, losing the LCS. Yankees, 93, win the division, losing the division series. Doesn't that feel good?
It does.
And then we can see if we're right or not. I mean, we already know Tommy's not right.
I mean, how do you know I'm not right?
Loogie!
The Yankees can't make the World Series and win 90 games?
No, not that part.
Which part are you alluding to?
The Mets could set their franchise record for wins in a season.
Right. 120.
And still be 10 games away from the record you predicted them
remember,
for.
Remember, the Yankees will forfeit several times in the Subway Series.
All right.
No mas.
For fun, this is for fun, for tomorrow. Which Yankee will hit the first home run of the season? Which Met will hit the first home run of the season? Do you want to go first or shall I? Or to Loogie?
Austin Wells.
Austin Wells?
You know what? First inning.
Wow.
I like it.
He's gonna start all off. That would be pretty badass.
Would be amazing.
Austin Wells hits the first home run for the Yankees, according to Tiki. What about the first Met to hit home run?
They got a catcher up here? Catcher? Just throw this dude some fastballs.
Half the people in the ballpark are going to be like, what the hell is going on? Why is this guy leading off?
I know. I'm going to go Mark Vientos.
Oh. Okay.
His third at bat.
All right. Very specific. Tommy Lugau, the first Yankee home run this season will be?
Jazz Chisholm.
Okay. Chisholm!
Jazz Chisholm. Okay. Great article in The Athletic about Jazz Chisholm. Basically,
I read it. Fantastic.
Miami Marlins organization and their players are a bunch of jackasses. Mm. That article, which I advise everybody read, helps prove a point I was making before the Yankees got him. I don't know if you remember me saying this.
I do.
Jazz Chisholm needs to come to New York, and he will become a star.
Right.
He needs that opportunity, and he will bust out. And he played really well last year. I know he didn't have the greatest playoff of all time, but he actually hit last year. Right. I'm expecting a big year out of Jazz.
Well, you remember I saw him at the Cantor Fitzgerald Charity Day?
Yes.
And just randomly, hey, Jazz, it's nice to meet you. How you liking New York? Oh, I love it here, man. This place is great.
Yep.
I left that saying this guy's going to crush New York.
Yes.
You could just feel it.
I agree.
He feels... Now, according to the article, I know the words, free.
Yes. The Marlins were himself. Yeah. Basically, I'll give you one little snippet for those that didn't read it, but I advise everyone to read it. I think Chris Kirshner wrote it.
Yeah, the first anecdote is just ridiculously horrendous.
He's a rookie player who has a bunch of different really cool sneakers, cleats, shoes.
Yeah, that he designs himself.
One of them was like designed, was it like an Oreo cookie or something like that?
Yeah, Oreos. He wore a pair of those last year. He also loves anime, including his favorite anime show. It's on Netflix if you want to watch it, Yankee fans, called Black Clover.
Okay.
About two boys that were abandoned by their families and they're looking for magic in order to, I don't know, dominate the
world.
And
this is anime?
This is anime. One of the kids has magic, the other kid does not.
Right.
But it ultimately ends up getting the Black Clover, which is a special kind of thing. So that's his favorite show.
So he had all these cleats, I guess is the right word, that were designed with this. And Miguel Rojas, that veteran jackass on the Marlins at the time, was like, who the hell is this kid? And cut it up. Another time, they just put milk in it and just ruined it. And Jazz, as a young player, took the approach. He probably took the right approach, which is I didn't confront them. I just let it happen.
Right.
I just stayed to myself. I kind of went into my own kind of cocoon there and didn't deal with it. But it just shows you the problems that lock. But whatever.
Bad enough that Don Mattingly had to call a meeting.
Yeah.
And say, lay off.
Yes. So I think Jazz being here, it just works. Anyhow, that was a long-winded story around Tommy's Yankee prediction. What about your Met prediction? First Met home run will be hit by?
Okay, this one's a little bit out on the limb because I'm not sure he's even going to be in the starting lineup tomorrow, but I just have a feeling about this guy, and it's a name we're going to have to dance around a little bit when we say it on the air for our listeners, and that is one Mr. Jose Siri.
Oh, okay.
I won't say anything after the name.
I wonder if he's going to start tomorrow.
Siri still exists, right?
Yes, it does. Hey, Siri.
No.
Crap.
Don't. No. Sorry.
If John Sterling was calling Met games this year, can you imagine? And then again, he'd have to have Siri explain to him. Like, what is this now?
What is this, Siri? Why am I messing up everybody's phones?
Like drunks.
I
apologize. I did not do that on purpose.
I'm going to disappoint you.
Can I say Alexa?
I'm going to disappoint you, but I'm going to give you the real answer. The first home run hit by a New York Yankee this season will be Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And the first home run hit by a New York Met this year
Don't
will be
Juan Soto.
Stop.
Homer.
Why?
Loser.
Well, me?
Yeah.
He hit a home run last year in Houston to start a New York career.
Not loser. Chalker.
No, I'm going chalk, yes. No, I think in this regard, I am going chalk because I think what's going to happen this season, and this guy, Tommy's going to be a culprit in this. A lot of this season is going to be about comparing Soto and Judge. I do. They're two great players. They used to be teammates. I think that there is going to be stat comparisons, home run comparisons. Like, it's just going to be back and forth, Judge versus Soto. It'll be like it'll be, which is kind of cool, the Mickey, Willie, and Duke of our era, for those that are aware. So I think it's going to be fun. Or even before my era, SBT about it, the Keith Hernandez versus Don right. Mattingly crap. I think Soto versus Judge is going to be a thing, and I really think that on opening day, they're both going to rise to the occasion. And then on the Lugauer, Tommy will explain that Juan Soto's home run traveled a little bit further than Judge's home run, and he's daddy.
Yeah, generational talent.
Juan Soto would have hit a homer to put the Mets in the lead. Aaron Judge will hit a home run when the Yankees are down 8-0. Call that an A-Rod.
Yeah. We call that an A-Rod.
Love it.
Met fans called that a Pete Alonso last year.
Nice crisp win by the Yankees.
Yeah.
A lot of things I wanted to see that I did see positively so far.
If that is a harbinger for this Yankees team, that one game, then I think it's going to be a fun season in the Bronx because it's all about, we talked about it yesterday. For me, it's about the young guys being the biggest key, and two of them yesterday with Wells and Volpe. I mean, look, it's Yankee Stadium, so you can knock the wall scrapers, if you will, or certainly Volpe. I felt confident in Wells, and that's why I think he's going to hit a lot of home runs because the ballpark's a part of it. He hits the ball hard, he pulls the ball, so you're going to get a lot of home runs. Volpe's ball, we were both there in the stadium for that. I think everybody in the ballpark thought it was a pop-up, can of corn, right field. Next thing you know, it goes out.
Yep.
But either way, those two guys with the power, good starting pitching from Carlos Rodon, who maybe he has turned a corner, BT. We're now not just a year removed. We're now a year plus removed from his awful, you know, time with the Yankees in his first year. He had a solid year last year. He seems to have loosened up a little bit, smiling and laughing after the game yesterday. Devin Williams, even though it was a little shaky, still got the job done, didn't blow it, cool, calm demeanor. If that was a harbinger for the Yankees, I think it's going to be a good season for them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the situation with Wells, to me, is the most encouraging. Yeah, listen, you love Volpe getting some confidence as well, going yard, scraping the seats, the wall doesn't matter, it's a home run. But with Wells, and I remember seeing this last year, and I don't know if I really backed this up with stats, but just watching him every night, I'm like, man, I love this kid's swing, you know that. I love his presence. He's become a real defensive asset, but he seems to miss a lot of high fastballs, right? And what pitch did he hit in the seats? That was a high fastball, letter high. And I was watching the postgame stuff on Yes, and Aaron Judge was asked about that because Wells went down to Tampa in January and was working with Wells. And one of the things that Wells really emphasized was getting on top of, because it's hard to do it, getting on top of the high fastball. And again, if yesterday's a harbinger of things to come with him handling that high heat, I think he's going to have a terrific year. I think he's going to be really good. The Volpe stuff is what it is. It's a small sample, but it's a good start. I thought Jazz looked very good at second base. And how about the bullpen? 3 2/3 innings of solid baseball. So all in all, I mean, listen, the Brewers aren't a great team, but it doesn't matter. You get a win, and now you get to see Max Fried after a day off today. And it's always better starting with a win rather than a loss. Pretty crisp win for the Yankees. I liked it.
And it's exactly what the Yankees do. It may not be sexy all the time. These current Yankees, may not be sexy all the time. Maybe shaky at times, but still they find a way to win some games. All right, let's get to some Midday Madness here with you, BT. We'll do it on the phones. BT and Sal, brought to you by Boost Mobile. Lou is calling from Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. Wants to join the Madness and talk about Soto. What's up, Lou?
Hey, guys. Soto is, hey, how you doing?
Good.
Soto is undeniably, hey, how you doing, guys? Soto is undeniably the best hitter in baseball. But I think he's going to find a big difference hitting
in front of Pete rather than Judge. I mean, listen, yep. He had his best year with Judge behind him. Now, he's had other really good years, and there's a reason why he's thought to be, you know, what he is. I get it. I do think there's going to be a little droppage. I think the park is a little bigger in city. I think he's going to have a really, really, really good year. But we'll see. I mean, it's an early read on the Judge stuff. And I don't know if that's why he expanded his zone. But Alonso is not Judge. And he never had Judge behind him in the past outside of a year ago. And he never put up a season like he did a year ago.
Yeah, I think it's well, he's had monster seasons.
Not
before.
Like last year.
Yeah, he's had monster seasons.
But
before.
Not like last year.
Juan Soto has always been a great player.
Not like last year. I agree. He's always been a really good player. But he's never put up the numbers he put up last year. It's a fact. He's never put him up like that.
I think Juan Soto. Well, yeah, I mean, he also played in Yankee Stadium. That's a part of it. So you're talking about the career high home runs.
He hit a lot the other way. Did he deviate from that?
Did he have career highs in everything last year?
I was close. I know he had the 40 home runs. Well, what? Well, think about this.
He won a World Series. Was Aaron Judge a part of that? No, he wasn't, because Aaron Judge is ringless.
No, no, I understand that. Okay, well, but the Padres also got better when Soto left.
There is a thought, because there is a thought, I'm not saying you do this, but there is a thought that Aaron Judge makes Juan Soto who he is. And that thought is as idiotic of a thought as anybody could possibly have. Now, you'd also be an idiot to not think that somebody would benefit from hitting in front of Judge. No, it's not the point.
That's my point.
The point is, well, then it's a foolish point.
When his numbers were better, how is that a wrong statement? Pull the numbers up, Sal.
Yeah.
And look at what he did with Judge behind him.
Okay.
Cool. And look at what he did without Judge behind him.
Right.
In his career.
Okay, I'm going to bring it up right here. Let's see.
I already know him, so I'm not going to punch it up.
Right. His career best, right, home runs for him was a career best. Outside of that, he has had a season with more RBI. He has had a season with a better average, multiple seasons with a better batting average. Let's see.
Don't count the, I mean, you can if you want, but the 2020, I'm just saying, the 2020 season when he went bonkers, the short season, the COVID year. Uh-huh.
He hit, let's see.
What about the year when he hit 246? And again, I'm not here to disparage Soto.
Right.
Soto's amazing.
Well,
but the fact that, the thought that he didn't benefit from Judge's presence to me is ludicrous. Now, it's up to him to dispel that this year. And he might.
Dispel what? The year before with the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
The year before with the San Diego Padres. 35-109, 132 walks.
I get it.
He hit 275.
Okay.
His OPS was 930. Last year.
40.
Yeah, 41 homers.
So he had more home runs.
Okay.
For one. Keep going.
He had six more home runs.
One for one.
What a difference.
Oh, keep going.
Same amount of RBI.
What's the OPS?
The OPS was 989 compared to 930.
And when did he have the ninth?
He walked a fewer times.
Okay.
He hit 275 the year before versus 288 last year.
What was his OPS last year? OPS plus, pardon me.
OPS plus was...
The numbers slightly, as you're looking it up, I don't mean to jump on it, but the numbers...
155 versus 178.
178 when?
155 with the Padres, and 178 with the Yankees last year.
178 as an OPS plus.
Okay, in 2021, he had a 175 OPS plus.
But he didn't have 40 home runs.
He had 29 that year with 95.
11 fewer than he had with Judge behind him.
In 2019, he had 34 home runs and 110 RBI.
Not 40.
He hit 282.
Sal, he's great.
BT, look, listen.
He was a little better with Judge behind him.
He had a career high in home runs with Aaron Judge hitting behind him. Juan Soto has been the same Juan Soto before Aaron Judge existed. So,
that's slightly debatable because the numbers suggest that he was better last year. Not every number.
I'm confused by the, are we saying that the home run numbers are better? Because that I agree. Yes. He had a career high in home runs. And that could also be attributed to playing in Yankee Stadium as well.
What did he hit last year? What was his average again?
35 home runs.
No, not the home runs, the batting average.
275.
275.
Yeah. He's a career 285 hitter. He hit 288 last
year. But what did he hit the year before that?
He hit 242.
Okay.
Wait, hold on.
I'm not even going to use that to jade my argument because that's not Juan Soto.
This is what I'm going to tell you. So he had career highs in runs, career highs in hits, and career highs in home runs. Take away 2020 as nothing because that does not count.
Right. Yep.
He had career highs in 2019 and 2021 in batting average, OPS. Those were higher in 2019 and 2021 than they were last year.
Right. But if you were to go through and...
RBIs were more in 2019. Doubles were more in 2019.
But if you were to go through and come up with almost like a... And you can't really do it. Like an average, I guess you can with OPS plus if you want to.
On base percentage was higher in 2021 at .465. So, yes, he had three stats that were higher last year.
Yeah, but three of the most important stats.
I thought home runs don't mean a lot because Pete Alonso is just a slugger, and that doesn't mean a lot. So if you were comparing just home runs, then home runs mean a lot, but if you take everything in 2019 and 2021, he was a better player. He was a .313 hitter. He had an OPS of .999. He had 29 home runs, 95 RBIs, walked the most ever in his career at .145. On base percentage of .465. That's better than .419.
Yeah, but I've also heard two of the stats where they were better then. Listen, that's fine.
But they were all better.
That's fine.
Yeah, but it's, to me, it's not about the numbers. Like, if you look at what Soto did the year before with the Padres, 35, 109, similar walks, 132 to 129,
yep.
And the batting average is 13 points apart. It's almost identical.
But it's not with the OPS plus, Sal. It's like 15 or 20 points higher here last year with Judge.
Okay, but that's 1 year.
No, I understand
that. He has had higher OPS plus.
I think once he had a higher OPS plus.
Well, that was.
And he's never had more home runs.
Okay, I know, but you're isolating two stats. Are you trying to tell me that Juan Soto is a product of Aaron Judge?
Did you hear me say that once?
Well, I'm asking you.
The answer is no.
That's all that I'm saying.
Well, I agree with that.
So then we agree. Okay, so then what's the point? Juan Soto is not a product of Aaron Judge.
But I don't think that there's anything wrong to say that certain players benefit by playing with other players.
Well,
by the way, Sal, if Soto was behind Judge, I mean, I don't know, actually don't know how much better Judge could do, but I would think over the course of Judge's career, if he had somebody like Soto behind him, he'd probably be incrementally better. Just like when Jordan found Pippen, and just like, I mean, and Magic found Kareem, like, you're going to be better. That's not a knock.
I'm fine with that. Same way that we both want Bellinger in front of Judge because we think it would benefit Bellinger.
Said the same thing.
But I think it's different because Juan Soto is not Bellinger. Juan Soto, on his own, has proven to be a star offensive player. Would he benefit from Judge behind him? I think Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, and Willie Mays.
Anybody, like Ruth. Yeah, I probably agree with that, too.
So that's all my point.
But there's, I got you. And this is not to minimize him.
Right.
I think he's going to be a beast. And if you guys just tuned in, I don't think it's a big deal that he struck out. He's going to be Juan Soto.
You may not be trying to minimize him, but the caller was. The caller called up, and his intention was to say, I think Soto without Judge behind him. And I just want to make it very clear, and I think we are both on the same page with this. You could say some of the numbers were inflated with Judge behind him. We'll see what happens for the next 10 to 15 years with Juan Soto without Aaron Judge behind him. But there is a track record without Aaron Judge behind him.
That's why I got $800 million, by the way. I get it.
That's the point. That's all. BT, it's Al on the Fan. We'll come back. We'll continue with the calls, 888-808-1019. Just getting started on this Friday morning on the Fan.
Great start for the New York Yankees, not as much for the New York Mets. People are going to overreact. I have to admit, I was annoyed with the way that the Mets game ended, and of course annoyed at seeing some of the reaction from Yankee fans on X. But then you go to bed, you wake up, and you remember that there's 161 more of these. But one takeaway I had from the game yesterday was, after a season of 2024, where it ended with so much magic and every moment that could have been a great moment ended up being a great moment until it ended against LA in Game 6, whether it was Francisco Lindor or Mark Vientos or Pete Alonso's home run, there were three instances at the end of this game that the 2024 Mets, one of them they would have come through with. Nimmo with the bases loaded. This kid who was an Uber driver and working at whatever the hell he was working at, Aldi or something. He comes up with the bases loaded. And then Juan Soto off his $765 million comes up with the bases loaded.
You mean Senger, right?
Yeah, Senger.
Yeah. Senger, who worked at a Whole Foods.
Oh, that's what it was, Whole Foods.
Yes, yes.
You know, at those three moments, something special would have happened last year. Game one of 2025, it didn't. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, Acuna Jr. had a hell of an at bat, though.
He definitely did. I mean, that was awesome.
That was big time at bat. You know, that was...
He was down 0-2, too.
Right, and that's a hell of a pitcher out there who, you know, kind of lost his stuff a little bit, and Juan Soto was sitting on a fastball, and he threw him a slider or some other crap. But, you know, yeah, we got a long time to go. But I will say, it was so great to get ready to watch the Astros and the Mets, and let's go, baby, here we are. Mm. And boom, nothing. I couldn't get in. I didn't know whether or not I was going to be able to watch the game. I didn't know whether to panic and call Al or call you and say, what the hell's happening here? And then, for me anyway, I don't know about what you guys had to deal with, and I know we were all dealing with something with this MLB app, but you know, all I had to do ultimately is had to update the app.
Yeah, see, to my app was updated. It was just their issues that they had. And I thought it was maybe something that was just going to the TV that was getting screwed up. So once I saw that, because it was like, MLB Media does not recognize this device is the first thing that I got. And I was like, huh, okay. So I go to the phone to see if I can watch it on the phone. Same thing. Then I go to the iPad to see if I can watch it on the iPad. Same thing. Then I go to X to see if other people are having the problem. Other people having the problem. Then I got different error messages. Eventually, I got
the Mets streaming, no problem the rest of the game. But, I mean, I did miss Juan Soto's first at-bat New York Met because these idiots couldn't get this thing figured out on opening day.
Right. The nice thing about the app, but they have this one improvement they have to do, and I don't know if you guys had the same issue. So the great thing about watching YouTube and watching the NFL ticket on YouTube, if you put it in the four box, they're all the same size.
Yeah.
All right, and then if you do a double screen, they're both the same size, and then you can switch back and forth with the audio, which is great. My MLB app had a big screen and a small screen. They weren't the same. I couldn't make them the same size.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I was going back and forth between the audio with the Mets and the Yankees, which is great to actually have them both right there, and that was good. But they have to be able to. And maybe it was just my app, maybe it was just my situation, maybe it's my TV, I don't know. But I could not make both of the pictures the same size. And that has to be rectified. You got to be able to have two of the same size pictures.
Yes, but I don't think a lot of people have that same issue that you have because we are lucky enough to get some of the blackout stuff away from MLB Network. Most people can't watch the Yankees and the Mets both on the MLB app.
Yesterday it was ESPN.
Yeah, but you still wouldn't be able to.
No, I watched them both on the app.
Right. Well, I don't think, that we did. Not everybody else is going to have that same experience.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Yes. For those people that are lucky enough to have what we have,
yeah.
I was able to watch both teams. Yeah,
like 100 of us maybe in the country.
All right. I thought there were more than us.
No, I don't think
because
so.
I'm just saying, when you watch YouTube.
Yeah, I know. The Sunday ticket's great and MLB sucks. It's like every other thing. NFL is great and MLB sucks.
Well,
like
I mean, everything. By the way, when you got to remember, MLB started this whole thing.
Yeah, I know.
They were the standard bearer, and they were the first ones to go into it. It was MLB BAM, I think it was called, or MLB. Yeah, I think it was called MLB BAM. And they were, cutting-edge technology in front of everything. They got to work some of the kinks out. This is really the first time everybody all went at the same time.
But they didn't know that?
I mean, of course they know it. You just don't know what's wrong. They'll get it figured out. I mean, I was as annoyed as anybody. And you know me. I get annoyed at things like this.
Yeah.
And I was pissed. I wasn't Frank Fleming pissed, but I was pissed. And certainly after, I had to update the app and things like that were happening, I got it and I figured it out and everything was fine. But I just said, watching it the way we were able to watch it on the app and do multi-screens, it's just that the second screen was small, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up going really just back and forth from the MLB app and then the ESPN broadcast of the Yankee game. And then also when I was able to get the iPad away from Summer, I was able to have both of those going on. So, I mean, there's everybody figures out a way to do it. And I think, not everybody's trying to, the Yankee fans are watching their game. The Mets fans are watching their game. Maybe for Soto, the Yankee fans were checking in on the Mets game. But as we go on, it's basically you're going to be watching your own team. We're not going to be watching it just because of what we do. We're watching both of the games at the same time. I don't think that's common for baseball fans. I mean, they're into their team and that's basically it. So they'll have a full screen of their team. And the Yankees got a full screen of Austin Wells leading off the game with a home run.
That's great.
And Carlos Rodon pitching. It's not the playoffs, we know that, but opening day at Yankee Stadium, when they know how important he is, this rotation, especially after the Gerrit Cole injury, him to come out and pitch that way was a huge boost for that team.
Yeah, it was good for him. It was good for Austin Wells, and quite frankly, it was a good solid win for them. And here we go, we're off and running. But for the Mets, Clay Holmes was, he was all over the place. They want to make him into a starter. He's going to be a big part of this starting rotation. According to Carlos Mendoza after the game, Sinker wasn't there, especially against right-handers. But he did keep him in the game. He battled through some situations. He gave him too many free passes. He hits a pitcher. Hits a batter. Acuña has a throwing error.
Yep.
I mean, so, things like that, little things like that have to get cleaned up, and they will. And it's too bad that, Soto didn't take that pitch, got on base, and let, Pete Alonso get up.
Yeah, I mean, and you're not going to see a lot of those swings from Soto throughout the year unless he turns it to a completely different person. He doesn't generally, especially when he's got three balls, flail at something like that. But Josh Hader got him. But the thing that just drives me crazy is, and it's not just Juan Soto. You got a 3-0 count. And he's sitting there, and he obviously wanted to hit because he swung at two balls later in the at-bat. He swung at a fastball that was out of the zone, and he swung at the slider that was out of the zone.
That's pressure.
But the 3-0 pitch
is a hanging slider right down the middle of the plate that he probably in batting practice could hit 450 feet, and he just lets that go. I hate that just because it's 3-0. That's the best pitch you're going to get. If that was a 2-0 pitch, a 3-1 pitch, a 1-0 pitch, you're swinging and you're hitting it. But at 3-0, he just lays it in there over the plate and hangs it. And he takes it and swings it two balls out of the zone. But whatever, it's fine. He'll
get
161
more of these.
Yeah, I know, but we can't just say that after every single baseball take.
Yeah, I know.
We have a show to do for 4 hours. So,
right.
I mean, it sucked to see that. He'll be fine. But that annoyed me. That absolutely annoyed me. And the fact that, you know,
yeah, they also got Frommer.
Well, yes, but then this is when Frommer was out. You know, Frommer is a great. He. I always say he reminds me of Mike Hampton. That lefty. He's crafty. He never is too emotional. He's great. But you know, once he was out of the game, the Mets had those opportunities.
They
couldn't capitalize. But whatever. It's It was annoying first game, especially with the Yankee fans. Like, you know, they get their win. And then they watch Soto strike out in the first game. Yeah, they had a fun day yesterday. You know, a little bit of a fun day.
They won their home opener. That's great. You know, that's Austin Wells starting it off with a home run was probably electric if you were there. It felt that way.
Yeah, so, and that kid caught the home run right in the glove, right there in right field perfectly and was fired up. It was just like that was a great opening day scene for the Yankee fans who did not have a great offseason. The offseason was miserable. And here it is right here, and the kid, bang, right there, is going nuts as he catches the ball, brings his glove.
It's a little sample, very little sample size, but I think Cody Bellinger is going to be great for the Yankees. I really do. And I just think all defensively, base running, all these little things that we're just talking about with the Mets and how they end up losing the game because of walks and throwing error and you know, lack of clutch hitting. There's a million things you could talk about. The opposite is true for Yankees yesterday. I just think him in center field and the way he runs the bases, the smart baseball player he is, just have a feeling he's going to be a really, really good player for them.
Yeah, and when you see Cody Bellinger's highlights, it's so smooth, looks great. You're like, man, I mean, how is this guy not winning an MVP every year? He's perfect for Yankee Stadium. The problem is that, you know, he goes through extended slumps and he's gone through some really bad offensive seasons. But I think, you know, in this lineup, even though it's not as formidable as last year, in that stadium, yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. He's got a huge opportunity to be a major offensive player for this team.
We're taking your calls on both the Yankees and the Mets. Mets, of course, will open up later on today. They will be on the road. Speaking of which, I did get an update. We had Andy Pettit on before. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We had Aaron Boone to start the show, Andy Pettit as well. And remember I was telling Pettit he kind of got lucky in Game 1 of the World Series, which is hard to believe, BT. 25 years.
Are you talking about with Tebow?
The 2000 World Series, yeah, with Zeal, who used to wear him out. And then Pettit took a little shot at Zeal, say, hey, tell Todd hit the ball a little further.
Didn't
next
have
time.
The oppo power, he said. Then he said that, too.
He
said hit the ball further. And then he said he should have pitched outside because Todd didn't have oppo power.
He's right about that. I mean, Zeal could hit one in a gap.
Yeah, you know, Zeal was a good player.
Yeah, he wasn't going to hit. Like, Piazza could go opposite field with the power. But anyway, hey, he made a mistake. Zeal wore him out, and I texted Todd that Pettit told him that.
Well, Todd taking bows? What's he got going on?
No.
What's Todd right?
He said he's right.
He said he's right.
No, he's wrong, Todd. That damn Timo Perez 25 years ago, I still can't let that go.
He cost you the game. There's no way around it.
And like you said, it could have changed the entire landscape of that series.
Yeah. I mean, that was...
It was only a five-game series, but still it was a hard... Like, Game 5 was close. Even Game 1, the Mets came back in. Game 2, I'm sorry. Game 2, the Mets came back in.
Yep.
It never felt real, but Jay Payton hit that home run off of Rivera down
Jay
the right
Payton
field line.
Georgia Tech, Jay Payton. He played with Nomar and Varitek. That was their college team. Jay Payton, Nomar, and Varitek played college together and hit in like sequential order with a metal bat.
And Payton was one of those guys who was jacked before that became a thing.
Yes, great bat speed, too.
And he can never stay healthy,
though. Never really put it all together. I always thought I remember watching Jay Payton a lot coming up. I remember reading about him in Baseball America, at Georgia Tech. Like, I was always intrigued by him. I thought he was going to be a star. And I watched him a lot with the Mets. And he did some good things, but... You know, he wasn't, you know, baseball's hard.
Piazza hit a two-run homer. If memory serves, I think the Mets were down 6-0, something like that. Piazza hit a two-run homer. This is obviously the Clemens-Piazza game.
Yep.
Piazza hit a two-run homer off of Jeff Nelson late in that game. A moonshot down the left field line here at the old stadium.
A little frisbee that didn't move.
And then Payton in the ninth hit a right field three-run homer off of Mariano.
Off Muff.
And made it like 6-5, and they ended up losing 6-5. But anyway, point is, yes, that game one was intense.
Well, but here's the thing. So even though it was only a five-game series, I got to tell you, listen, we're never going to know what happened. And trust me, as a Yankee fan, I'm thrilled that the Yankees won that because we've been, still been hearing about this. And but if the Mets would have won the first game, and they probably should have, as we said,
yeah.
The pressure that Torrey talked about that was being applied to him by George, who was still very alive and still
think
fairly...
He could have been fired?
I don't know if he would have been fired, not after 96, 98, 99. I'm not even implying that. I mean that George's presence, George didn't like losing the Mayor Trophy, the Mayor's
right.
Trophy game,
let alone
spring training games right. between the Yanks and the Mets, let alone game one or a World Series. So I don't know how it would have manifested itself. Maybe the players would have been immune to that, but I think that it would have been, it could have made the Yankees tighter. It could have really made them play with less confidence if the Mets would have won the first game.
Yeah, and then remember, too, 2-3-2, Mets would have had three games at Shea after that. They needed to get a split. And then once the Yanks went up 2-0, you never felt like it was going to be a reality that the Mets – I never felt that way. You had held out hope. Because think about what would have had to have happened. You would have had to win either all three and beat that Yankee dynasty three games in a row
yeah.
at Shea and then still get one of two, or – go 2 out of 3 at Shea, which, okay, could happen, and then win game 6 and 7 on the road in Yankee Stadium. No way was that happening.
And at that point, game 7 at Yankee Stadium still off limits until the Red Sox wound up changing that a couple of years after.
Right.
Where you come in here game 7, you're not going out with a win, or the old stadium, not here. The crazy thing, too, is as we're sitting here on opening day, and the Yanks and the Mets, and both teams have a lot of talent, both teams have some questions as well. And it wasn't an arrogance, and I'm sure it wasn't arrogance for some Yankee fans back then, but, you were so conditioned to win, even though they got tripped up by the Indians in 97 with Alomar taking Mo deep to right field on that Sunday night. You win at 96, you win at 98, you win at 99. Going into that Subway Series with the Mets, and again, it wasn't like, oh, we're the Yankees. I never really operated. I mess around on the radio here, but I never really operated that way, like, oh, we're the Yanks, you're the Mets. That was never really my thing. Some people do it, whatever, have fun. But I'll tell you, if they were to meet in the World Series this year, the level of confidence for the Yankee fan now compared to then would be miles apart.
In a wrong way.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
You just assumed you were going to win because they always won.
Right.
And the Mets didn't. And I know the Mets didn't win the World Series last year, but they swept them in a Subway Series. You took Juan Soto, the changing dynamics a little bit. Like, the Yankee fan would be very uncomfortable.
You know what it is?
If there was a Subway, I would love it still.
You know what it is? What? Little brother's all grown up now.
Well, yeah, he's not all
big
grown
brother,
up until he pins big brother on the grass in the backyard and smacks him
big
around.
Big brother's been beating him down, beating him down.
Yep.
All of a sudden, little brother's grown. He's got some muscles.
Yeah.
And now
he's doing a little shaving here and there. He's got a couple of hairs.
He's been hitting
up
the gym. He's eating right.
I know.
It could be a little different story. And, I know we've talked about this as recently as last season, in season.
Yep.
That there was a collision course potentially for a Subway Series. And we got close.
Yankees
got there. Mets got to the NLCS. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's ridiculous to predict those type of things. But I do feel probably the most confident maybe ever. Because in 2000, I don't remember ever saying it's going to be a Subway Series. It was just almost more like, holy cow, the Mets might go to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that was, for me, a younger fan.
Yes.
That didn't happen. I was, 6 or 7 in 86.
Jeez.
So when they became good again in 99 and 2000, that was always the hope. But it was never, I never thought about the Subway Series until you kind of had to.
Uh-huh.
And then every year since, it's always, oh, that would be great or whatever. But I don't think I've ever felt like 2006, the Mets were very good, should have been to the World Series, should have won it. The Yankees weren't.
Uh-huh.
And then the majority of others, even 2015, all right, the Mets got there kind of out of nowhere. Yankees weren't there.
Yep.
I never, this is the first time probably I feel that it is as legit a possibility going into a season, maybe since 2000, that we get a Subway Series.
It's interesting, and I could see that. The way the Mets started a year ago, that obviously, and I don't think you felt, nobody really felt that way going into last
season.
That's
what I'm saying.
Clearly.
Barely,
to your
not
point.
Even a playoff team, really.
Yeah, true. I mean, most of us had the Mets win in high 70s, whatever, 78, 79. I'm a couple of years older than Sal, for those who don't know, but I remember in the mid-80s, I'm like, And it, I don't even know if we use the expression Subway Series. Like, it's just been one of these creations, right, even though it used to happen all the time in the 50s. And with the Brooklyn Dodgers finally cracking through in 1955 against the vaunted Yankees, and my dad finally getting his Dodgers that championship win. I mean, they lost every year. Point is, I remember in the mid-80s, even though the Yankees didn't have the pitching, the Mets were terrific, even in 84, 85, and obviously 86. And the Yankees had Ricky Henderson and Don Mattingly and Dave Winfield anchoring their lineup, not to mention Ron Guidry, Dave Rigetti, and some other, just to keep things moving. I could name the whole lineup, but I won't. It felt like there was a chance then. We just didn't communicate it that much. I feel like now it's more topical and more target.
Yeah, it could have happened a year ago. And I'm not saying it's going to. Like I said, I think it's tough. You look at the road in the National League, tough for the Mets. But both teams going in are on the same page where the expectation is World Series.
I agree. They got a chance.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Win, tell everybody, start spreading the news. Keith McPherson here. Obviously, I went to the game. If you can tell by the lack of my regular voice that I have, but I've got enough of a voice to do this show tonight. Authentic, real. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. You might still be in the car. You might have got on the train, got into your car now. You might have listened to the game. We're back, baby. We are back. Another 162. Well, now 161. Zoo, I'll see you. Connor, get home safe. Rami, let's lock in. I tried to go to the game and not yell, but yeah, right. Yeah. Tried to go to the game and not yell. Yeah, right. 888-808-1019. Somebody with a voice call to the line. I mean, like, listen, man. This is a holiday. Happy New Year. I love this day. And when the Yankees win on this day, I love it even more. I woke up at 4:13 a.m. I was off last night. Shout out to C-Mac. Shout out to C-Mac's wife. They pulled up on us at stands. And, you know, C-Mac filled in for me last night. I was off last night thinking, like, I'm going to get a good night's sleep. I'm going to rest. I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to get ready for 2025 opening day at Yankee Stadium. Bam, 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 bam. I think I went to sleep around like 10:30, 11. And I took melatonin, magnesium. It doesn't matter. When you're a baseball fan, when you're a Yankee fan, when you're a fan of a team that you love to, like, your core, to, like your heart, every fiber of your being, like a lot of you listening, and you need this opening day to get over the last game that you saw at Yankee Stadium. You need this opening day to erase the memory of the last time you were at Yankee Stadium. Shout out to my boy Face from the Creatures. I came up from the subway. I ran into Face, and Face said, I feel like we were just here. I just saw you here, game five. And I'm like, yeah, don't mention it. Don't mention it. I said, today's memory will erase that memory. That's in the past, right? They asked Judgy about it. Judgy said he'll remember it for the rest of his life. It'll stick with him for life. It'll stick with all of us Yankee fans. But you know what? Hit refresh. We're back. 888-808-1019. So I couldn't sleep at all last night. This offseason was short. Thank God. And thank the good Lord for making me a Yankee fan. I love all of you guys, man. Like, it was a festival today, a carnival today. I told somebody today, I have more fun here on my birthday than on my birthday. I have more fun on opening day than Christmas. I'm like, this holiday is different, bro. The culture that exists on 161st and River when the Yankees are about to start playing is different, bro. and you can tell me about the parade they do in Cincinnati or whatever. You know, I don't care. I ain't never been. Like, I see it on the internet. I was trying to count. I'm like, I think this is my 9th in a row. Forget the COVID year, but I'm like, I was in the fan cave 2014. We couldn't go. 2015, I had to work and I couldn't go, but I've been going to opening day for every single year straight. And shout out to Stans for the hospitality, WFAN, Corona. We had an amazing gathering from 11 a.m. to 1, even though the street was still open, River Ave, and people were riding through, but like Yankee fans were eager today and enthusiastic today to get back to baseball, to get back to watching our team, right? Something I was saying through the whole offseason is like, you know, folks can say whatever about the injuries or about the roster, about whatever. We don't control that. No one controls that. But Yankee fans can go in that stadium, and as soon as they do the intros, and as soon as you hear that, welcome to the jungle, right? This is what that jungle do. Shout out to A Boogie who did the video for the Yankees. It starts to turn up. New York City shows up. Connecticut, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Long Island, Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens. I mean, I met a couple people from Texas. Shout out to my boy John from LA. Like, people were coming from all over for Yankee Stadium opening day. And it was beautiful. It was amazing today. And a lot of people were like, hey, what do you think? You know, how's Rodon going to do? And we'll get to that. What do you think about the lineup? Wells leading off. We'll get to that. And most people I told, I said, this is not about this one out of 162. They could lose today. We've seen that a bunch of times. They could win today. We've seen that a bunch of times. It doesn't mean anything as far as the grand scheme of things. I'm like, this is a family reunion. This is a gathering. This is for us out here. The stadium was closed for months. And we actually got to the World Series last year. We played through October last year, so the offseason was shorter, but we're right back. 888-808-1019. So, man, shout out to everybody I ran into. I just love being on the train. Like, I came into WFAN this morning at like 9 a.m., 9:30. Ran to everybody. Like, I had my Yankee gear on. I dropped my bag, and I was going to the stadium. And as soon as I got on the train, every single stop, down here we get on the one train, connect to 59th Street, Columbus Circle, every single stop. I'm not even joking. Maybe it was just my car. I'm like, somebody got on with a Yankee hat. Somebody got on with pinstripes. As soon as I got on, old lady see me sit down and she just smiled at me. She looked like an old school New York lady that just like, she wasn't wearing any Yankee gear, but she seen me head to toe. Repping like, oh, it's that time again. We've made it through another winter. The Yankees are playing. Even though we lost in the World Series, and, you know, shout out to Dave Sims, shout out to Susan Waldman. Susan, I saw you walking in, but I was going in to get my credential. I couldn't turn back around. You know how security be. They try to get everybody in. But Dave Sims, when I had him on a couple months ago, he stopped me dead in my tracks when I was like, we lost the World Series. He said, stop. You lost the World Series. You were in the World Series. For every Yankee fan that can hear my voice, be proud. Like, you were in the World Series. You're the reigning American League champions. And today, we opened up Yankee Stadium and we got a win. Start spreading the news. Tell everybody, the Yankees win. The Yankees win. 888-808-1019. You know me. I'm out there. Everybody that, you know, I met today, shout out to you. I swear I was trying not to yell, but, you know, the creatures, turn it up. That roll call was booming for the world to hear on ESPN, for everybody to hear. Like, Major League Baseball started the season off at 3:05 for a reason, right? Let everybody hear that. We know there's March Madness games on. We'll get to that. But there's a reason that they started in New York, the mecca of baseball, where Major League Baseball offices are. MLB Network is not too far from right here where I am, where they know the best fans in the world are, no matter what. Whether you miss the postseason or whether you lose in the World Series or win the World Series, the Yankee faithful are showing up, and we showed up. And we got a win, 4-2. The Yankees beat the Brewers. And you know, that game started off in a historic way. You know, shout out to the Pope, Mike Francesa, greatest of all time at WFAN. I was listening to his podcast, I think, a day ago. I think yesterday or you know, last night into this morning. He was talking about how he didn't like Austin Wells leading off. And, you know, like a couple of days ago I was on and I was like, I don't care about Austin Wells leading. Like, it's not permanent. Like, it doesn't make me feel any type of way. Like it's not going to work. Well, today you just get that Austin Wells, that homer in the bottom of the first, Austin Wells homers, and it's like spring training for everybody, right? Spring training continues. Spring training in the Bronx. Austin Wells adds a 7th home run to his spring training homers, and it's like, hey, it worked out. And the Chicken Parm Bros, those boys are besties from Jersey. My guy Anthony Volpe follows up with another solo shot. Doom, 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 doom. And it just, like, loosens everybody up. People are in sweatshirts and blankets and gloves and hoodies and knit caps. And, like, you know, it's a little cold, but then the sun starts hitting and it warms up out there. And at least we got one on the board, another on the board. And, yeah, okay, whatever. Vinny Capra hits a solo shot, but the game kind of held right there for a while at 2-1. But that gave you an opportunity to see some old friends, see some people in your section, walk around, maybe try some. Like, I saw this girl on the bleachers with the Tierra Masuna helmet. And I was like, that's my first time seeing this in real life. That's crazy. We're back on. We're back on, man. Today was amazing. And the Yankees showed up today, and it's cold out there. It's the first day in the stadium. They were shut out the first day in the stadium last year. We understand Stanton is hurt, but we got, you know, some decent news today. We understand Cole is out for the year, but you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Clark Schmidt is down. Luis Gil is down. That's okay. It's a team. And Aaron Boone, shout out to Booney, getting those guys ready to go no matter what. Next man up. There's a standard here, you know. There's a bar here. We don't care. We root for the laundry year after year after year after year. The pride and the power and pinstripes. Just excellence and tradition. Go out there and win. We got your back. We got your back. And even when it gets late and Devin Williams comes out with a beard on. Oh, the bearded Yankees. Devin Williams got a beard. Our new closer, the Airbender. And shout out to Devin Williams. I remember when I asked him, what's his song going to be? That song was playing in Yankee Stadium. I never heard that song before. I'm like, I don't know what song that is, but hopefully it works. You know, it was a little shaky, but ultimately they got it done. And you're able to hear Frank Sinatra, New York, New York, loud, with the fans singing it, and all of us running to the train, and it's like that fast we're back, man. I've lived this dream 100 times. And today was amazing. 888-808-1019. There were so many people in there that I was able to connect with, that I was able to see, that I was able to talk to. And like I said, I apologize for my voice not being as strong as it usually is, but I don't care. It's authentic. This is real. Like, if you know anything about me, like, I'm going to opening day. I'm going to scream, let's go Yankees in the street before we even get in there. And then when we do get in there, I don't care if it can hold at 2-1 for three innings, whatever. The Brewers, I'm not worried about the Brewers. Devin Williams, former team, I'm not worried about, you know, I'm not worried about anything else besides getting back with the Yankee universe, watching our Yankees play, and rooting our Yankees on to win. And we're back, man. We're back. All the talk about what the offseason was or wasn't. And, you know, we'll get into it tonight, what the Yankees are evaluated at, how much they're worth on Forbes, how much they spent, what they're going to do, who they're going to sign. You know, when I was last on, I told you, I'm not giving you guys any predictions. Who cares about my predictions? Who cares about anyone's predictions? The whole reason we are so addicted to this, the whole reason we care so much about this, is because it's unpredictable. Can't predict baseball. today the Yankees come out with a win 4-2, and I see you guys hitting the lines. We're going to get to you in a second, but unfortunately my Mets lost today. I was rooting for the Mets to go out there and beat the new rival of the Yankees in the last, you know, 6-7 years. It's not the Red Sox, the Houston Astros. Yankee fans still hate the Astros, even though that team has disbanded. You know, it seems like the only one left is Jose Altuve. Last year, the Yankees opened up the season in Houston. And, I mean, that first game was epic. But today, the Mets go out to Minute Maid Park. And, you know, I was really pulling for them. We were watching the out-of-town scoreboard. And, you know, a couple of people I was talking to in there, kind of watching the game. And Astros go up 1-0 and 3-0. And that kind of holds. And the Mets rally. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. But, unfortunately, my make-it-happen Mets did not make it happen today. But what I'll say is it's a long road. It's 162 games. Today is a spring training game. It counts on the record, but it's a spring training game in our major league ballparks. It is opening day. It's a holiday. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And if you, you know, if you're a Mets fan and you lost, whatever, you'll get right back at it tomorrow. If you're a Yankee fan, hold on to it. Enjoy it because, you know, the Yankees building that off day. We're not back on until Saturday. And they're saying it's supposed to be 75, 80 degrees. What? Amazing. We're blessed, man. Shout out to everybody listening, everybody calling. We got a full rack of calls. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Obviously without my full voice, but like if you saw me today, you know I get after it. Like I don't go in there to be quiet. I don't go in there to hold my tongue. I go in there to do what I can. I can't throw the ball. I can't hit. I go in there to root on the Yankees. And we're back to rooting on the Yankees for the next few months. 888-808-1019. We're going to root on the Mets, too. The Mets lose today, but it does not matter. Don't worry about it. The Mets can still take the series, and we'll talk about Juan Soto, and we'll talk about Clay Holmes, and we'll talk about Lindor. I mean, we'll talk about everything. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.
On the Fan, I got you for 5 hours on our opening day recap. 5 hour midnight ride as I take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm up show. 888-808-1019. Rami's still hanging around, but we'll have Nico and Fliegelman taking your calls. And that's right, all is right with the world. Are you ready? You know what? I forgot to mention this. All the times I've been yapping about how much I love baseball, I go on and on and on and on about the 162 and how great it is to be there with you every day. And I forgot to mention how we treat every one game like it's its own season. Are you ready for overreaction? And this is a good one. This is a great overreaction. Friday morning. Are you kidding me? For a Yankee fan? And that's it. Listen, Met fans. The entire offseason, I spent most of the time yesterday's open talking about the Mets, the Mets, the Mets, the Mets, the Met fan. I mean, listen, as we all do this Met-Yankee thing, is it trivial? Is it silly? Are we just being stupid with one another? Absolutely, but let's do it. Because obviously, the Mets have won the offseason. The Mets had this incredible, they Juan Soto, they're going to be so great. Everything that's gone on with the Mets. And just for today, overreaction. Clay Holmes doesn't pitch the way he pitched all of spring. Therefore, oh, what a failure. And then the way we are breaking down the at-bat of Juan Soto. Like, oh, well, was he trying to do too much? Is he trying to overcompensate for the contract? He swung at a pitcher. He swung at a slider from one of the best closers in baseball. I love it. I love it. The Yankees... Wells is going to be the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. Carlos Rodon is unstoppable. He's going to step in and save the New York Yankees like I suggested weeks ago. It's overreaction Friday, and I love it. But in serious, we'll get to the Mets in a second. We'll get to Juan Soto. Obviously, just having baseball back was awesome. I was at the game today. I know you heard from Keith. Keith was at the game as well. I saw him down at now I'm forgetting the name of the place. The dugout, whichever one he was doing, Billy's or whatever, one of those bars. I saw him. We saw everybody. It was a great day. It was a beautiful day. A little chilly, but sunny. But it was a great day to be in the Bronx. A great day to have baseball back. We'll have a little fun with the Yankees Mets. Because today was, listen, Mets fans, you got to deal with it. You had the offseason. Day one, round one of 162 goes to the New York Yankees. Carlos Rodon outpitches Clay Holmes. And even though he had a good day, because he'll always have good days, Juan Soto strikes out to end the game for the Mets as they lose 3-1 to the Astros. But the Yankees take game one of the season 4-2. And I really want to talk about, we'll get into the home runs and obviously to get the season started the way it did with Wells and how much we've talked about him as the leadoff hitter and the dynamic of that and whether you like it or not and the no speed and what a traditional leadoff hitter looks like. And, you know, are they forcing this? How does this lineup going to work? You know, obviously without Juan Soto, they're going up against an ace in Peralta. You know, not one of the top pitchers in the league, but a very good starting pitcher for Milwaukee. But to me, it's not about the home run from Wells. It's not about the home run from Volpe. Like, if you're going to take anything from this game, for me, it's clearly Carlos Rodon. In a rotation, he's thrusted into the start for the home opener that nobody's happy about. It should be Max Fried. Obviously, it should be Gerrit Cole, as we saw him go out for, if you were at the stadium, I'm sure they showed it on TV, but the opening introductions, there's Cole walking out with the big brace on his arm and everything as he's dealing with the Tommy John, and hopefully we see him at some point next year. But Carlos Rodon thrusted into this start, thrusted into this extremely important role inside this rotation that is down Gerrit Cole, down Luis Gil, right now still with no Clark Schmidt, having Carlos Carrasco having to be a huge part of this. Will Warren, who the last time the Yankee fans saw him pitch in meaningful games besides the spring training, was pretty much awful every time we saw him last year. This rotation, as much as we complain about the losing Juan Soto and what the lineup could be and the lack of power and whatever our concerns are, this rotation was supposed to be its strength. And now not having those two guys, the rookie of the year in Luis Gil, and obviously the ace of the staff in Gerrit Cole, guys are going to have to step up. And yes, here we are, Overreaction Friday. I'm not going to tell you I now have faith that Carlos Rodon is going to be an ace for the New York Yankees the rest of the way, but I have to admit, you have to have loved what you saw out of Carlos Rodon if you're a Yankee fan. I talked about it yesterday. The idea of him starting in this game and the little bit of pressure. There is pressure on opening day. There's pressure to be thrusted into this spot. There's pressure of being the first guy out there for this rotation. There's just enough pressure on opening day where if he loses, all right, it's opening day. He didn't meet the task. It's one of 162. Let's hopefully next start is better. But if he wins, you say, oh, he handled the pressure of being the opening day starter. Oh, he had a good game. He handled things. And inside this game in particular, I thought we saw signs from Carlos Rodon that make me feel really positive about him leaving this game. One, the pitch mix. I mean, this is a guy who's traditionally been a fastball slider. I know last year they talked a lot about his pitch mix and trying to change it up and be less predictable. I thought this was by far, as a New York Yankee, period. Might not have been his most dominant start. It might not have even been his best start. But for me, I mean, we saw, watching it live, I can't remember the amount of, you know, get me over curveballs for first strikes. Like, his pitch mix, his ability to throw changeups, his ability to throw the curveball, he was getting, you know, throwing sliders for strikes and the swing and miss slider, which he got a ton of. I think he got 15 swings at sliders, 9 of 15 swing and misses. He had the ball down, he was able to locate, he was spotting the curveball early in the count to get guys off the fastball early in the count. I thought his pitching, not just throwing, not just dominating, not I'll throw a fastball by you and then fool you with the slider. Overall, his ability to get everything in, have it work as a cohesive just plan was as good as we've seen it. And then you get to the thing that you worry most about Carlos Rodon. Second, to me, is the idea of the big game. the pressure, the moment. How's he going to react to it? That's even secondary to the number one concern I have about Carlos Rodon, which is when the ball starts rolling in the wrong direction, how does he handle it? And I thought, without the ball really rolling, I mean, it wasn't a Indiana Jones situation where he was running for his life necessarily, but in the fourth inning, right? He gives up the home run earlier to attain, after the two home runs from the Yankees, he gives up the solo home run, make it 2-1. And then in the fourth inning, obviously the fiasco at the ground ball at first base, which, by the way, can a first baseman just run to first base? I know it's only the first time we've seen Goldschmidt, and I'm not going to go nuts about it, but he obviously had a better opportunity to get the out just running to first. Why are we obsessed with the PFP? Why are we obsessed with giving the pitcher that play? I'll never understand it. But after that debacle where he doesn't beat it out and he slips and falls and the entire crowd is collectively holding their breath watching Carlos Rodon on his ass worrying if we just lost another starting pitcher in this rotation. From that moment on, he comes back out. And I made sure I looked. His first pitch was a fastball high and it was 92. He was sitting at 94 to 96 the entire game. That first pitch is 92 and I'm like, oh, here we go. I mean, here we go. He's a little stiff. Something's up. I'm not saying he's devastatingly hurt. I'm not saying his ankle's going to fall off, but he got jarred something. That fastball's down to 92. We're going to have an issue. He gets through the fourth, and I remember I was talking to the guy next to me. When he comes out of that game, I said, that might be it for him. He just had that injury. He just had that issue where he fell, right? He's given up the home run. He had a couple guys on base in that inning. The inning before, it's opening day, the bullpen's rested, you got a day off tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if they just say, hey, listen, let's just call it a day, good performance, four innings, you've thrown 67 pitches, I think it was, when he came out of that fourth inning, and it's just like, okay, let's ease into the season, let's not push this thing, and instead, Boone sends him back out there, and he has a dominant, 1-2-3, three strikeout fifth. And I felt like that was a spot in previous years with Carlos Rodon where he goes back out there after whether he's embarrassed or angry or banged up, whatever happened at first base, for him to come back out there after finishing the fourth, going out there for the fifth and throwing his best inning of the game and getting three consecutive strikeouts. I thought that was a moment, and again, it's opening day, overreaction Friday. I'm not going to tell you that he won't go out and give up 10 runs the next start. But that's a moment where we have seen Carlos Rodon fold. That is a moment where we've seen the ball roll against him. He doesn't make the play. He barely gets out of that inning. He comes back after a long inning where the Yankees had a long inning and he was in the dugout for maybe 15 to 25 minutes. And he comes back out there and throws the best inning of the day. I thought that fifth inning was the turning point of the game. I thought that was a really good sign for Carlos Rodon. And I think he is so important to this team. And if he can go out there with his longer hair and his beard and he's throwing 95, but he's throwing curveballs over for first pitch strikes, he's throwing changeups in spots. I haven't seen Rodon throw changeups. He's attacking with the changeup. He's throwing the changeup for strikes. He's throwing it down in the zone. Same thing with the slider. And he was asked in the postgame, what got so many swings and misses in the postgame? And I thought he nailed it. I was able to throw sliders for strikes early on in the game. So now they have to be aware of that pitch and know I can throw it for strikes. They've done so. His ability in this game to make pitches, to think, I think obviously Wells did a great job getting him through the game, calling the game. I thought it was a masterful job, and I honestly think you can make the case. That's the best version of Carlos Rodon we have seen in a Yankee uniform. We have seen more dominant versions. We have seen days where his fastball is 98 and he's blowing it by people. We obviously, the first couple of innings of the playoff game against the Royals where he's peacocking all over the mound. That was a pitcher. That was a pitcher yesterday who was able to locate his stuff, mix up his pitches, keep the hitters off guard, keep the hitters off balance, confuse the hell out of them, strike out Chirios three times swinging missing, who went 0 for 5 with five strikeouts in this game. But that, to me, was an unbelievably impressive performance from Carlos Rodon on opening day, the pressure of starting the season, not filling in for Cole, not, you know, everyone wants to see Freed instead of him, and instead he steps up there against, listen, a pedestrian hitting lineup. Again, this isn't, you know, he didn't go out there and do this against the Red Sox. He didn't go out and do this against one of the better hitting teams in baseball. But still, that performance was as sound a pitching performance as we've seen from Carlos Rodon. And he is going to be as important a player for this Yankee team as you can have. With this rotation in the state it's in, that he is a guy where you can look at and say, as he goes, so go the Yankees. If he has a good year, the Yankees can have a good year. If he's a disaster, the Yankees can be a disaster. That's how important and how pivotal this guy is, who's getting paid a hell of a lot of money, who was brought here to be the second ace of this staff. He was supposed to be what Max Fried is now paid to be. And Max Fried was paid because Carlos Rodon has been unable to be what Max Fried is paid to be. But in this start, opening day, I was extremely impressed with Carlos Rodon. Extremely impressed. And I hope it's a sign of things to come, because I think, you know, and as we talk about Clay Holmes, and we'll get to it, Met fans, and his lack of mixing up his pitches, his lack of, you know, mixing in that changeup and going to the sinker that he, you know, has been a dominant reliever with. Right, him sticking with that instead of mixing it up, going to what he knows. It's different when you pitch in spring training. It's different when you're working on things. You get into it facing an all right-handed lineup where, you know, typically the changeup goes against lefties, and suddenly you find yourself battling. You don't have that sinker to start. You start, you know, walking guys early in the game. It's not spring training where I'm working on my changeup. You have to trust that pitch. You have to believe in that pitch. And Carlos Rodon, so much over the last 2 years as a Yankees, it's felt like he doesn't believe in his secondary stuff. He doesn't believe in the changeup. He doesn't believe in the curveball. He's going to try and throw fastballs by you and then get ahead and throw the slider. That's all he's been. That's it. And it's game one, and I'm not going to make too much of it, but I got to tell you, I was thoroughly impressed with how Carlos Rodon threw the ball, how many pitches he worked in, how he attacked the hitters, how many swings and misses he got without really his best fastball. I mean, we've seen 97, 98. He was throwing 94 to 96, and then in the fourth, 92, after falling on his ass covering first base. But all in all, a great day for the Yankees. You did have the ninth inning be a little bit shaky, obviously, with Devin Williams. I honestly think you're better for it in that spot. Like, if you can get through your first time in a Yankee uniform, facing your former teammate, getting on the mound in the Bronx on a cold day, first time in a Yankee stadium as the Yankee closer, if you can have that kind of inning where you don't have your good stuff, you can't find that changeup, that devastating airbender, you can't locate all your pitches, you get into a bases-loaded situation, and you come through, as much as, you know, you'd like to have the 1-2-3 inning, that can actually benefit Devin Williams. So overall, I thought it was a extremely fruitful, productive day. You've got the leadoff hitter. So many questions about Wells going deep in the first game, in his first at-bat. Obviously, Volpe, such a huge season for Volpe coming up. That third year, is he going to make that next step? He hits an opposite field home run in this game, plays an excellent shortstop. That first inning, it could not have gone better to get the Yankees back into it, because we head into this season as Yankee fans unsure about this team, not overly confident about this team. Not only just the injuries, clearly devastating to the starting rotation, and we got some news on Stanton we'll get to, but just overall, a lot of relying on youth early on, right? A lot of guys are going to have to step up. The lineup's not as potent. They lost Juan Soto. Injuries to the starting rotation. Like, there's a lot of concern about this Yankee team. And I got to tell you, the first inning where you've got Rodon mixing in his pitches and Jazz Chisholm makes a very nice play in the second base hole that, honestly, everyone in the ballpark was thinking the same thing. Does Glaber make that play? I don't know. I don't know if he does. But Jazz did. 1-2-3 inning in the first. Nice play by Jazz. Leadoff home run from Wells. And the 2025 Yankees were rolling. And it was a good day to be in the Bronx. And Met fans, you're just going to have to live with it. Day one goes to the Yankees as Juan Soto chases a slider away, as the offense was kind of inept all day until a couple of late rallies come up short. Clay Holmes doesn't pitch as well as he's pitched in spring training. It's the first of many. Let's not overreact. And the idea that we are literally breaking down. I know Juan Soto came through in the exact same spot last year with the Yankees. Same building, same pitcher, same situation. And he laced a bullet base hit to give the Yankees the lead against Hader for the New York Yankees. And today he swings at a slider after having a 3-0 count. But I can't believe I'm watching Sal. I got home from the game. I put on the Mets post game a little bit and I'm watching they're breaking down. Do you think he's trying to do too much? What do you make of this? Like, Hader's a great pitcher who made a good pitch in Juan Soto's swing. Like, he's going to, like, I understand he's Juan Soto. But he's gonna chase every once in a while. I know it was the game on the line, and you'd love to write that storybook, and I was listening in the car, and Howie Rose kept mentioning, oh, the 24 Mets. If they have another page of the 24 Mets in their, you know, in their books, this is the time, and who could write a better script? And ultimately, they didn't write that good script. But it's day one of 162. So we'll overreact because it's what we do, and hell, it's fun. Yankees win, Mets lose. We've got other news around that, but to me, Carlos Rodon is the huge story of the day. Austin Wells had a big-time day. Volpe had a big-time day. And that's where we start here on this Friday morning.